Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. So listen for the word of God. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And our second reading comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. So again, listen for the word of God. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. I was reading a while back about the Liberty Bell. You know, the one in Philadelphia with the crack in it. I learned in my reading that the bell that you can go see in Philadelphia was not the original bell. And it was not the original crack that you can see in that bell either. The bell that we now call the Liberty Bell started out, the original bell was purchased by the state of Pennsylvania. And that first bell was cast in England and shipped to Pennsylvania, where they put it in the State House, which we now know as Independence Hall. But when they went to ring that brand new bell sitting atop the State House, when they went to ring it for the first time, it cracked right then and was rendered useless. The dismayed leaders then turned to a local foundry to recast the bell. And so the workers there melted down the old bell, added some copper for strength, and cast a new bell out of the old one. And they put it back up in the State House. However, when they rang that bell, it had a sound that so displeased everyone, they sent it back to be recast again. This third pie apparently did the trick, and that bell is what we now know as Liberty Bell, and it hung in the State House. What I found interesting in this story is that the colonists took something that was old and broken and turned it into something new and usable, which for me resonated with our scripture passages this morning, where God took an old covenant and recast it and made it into something new. January, being the first month of the year, gave an invitation for me to explore the idea of what new is in the Bible. And I discovered that there is much that is new in the Bible. There are new things, new creations, new wineskins, new commandments, a lot of new to deal with. And then I ran out of January. without considering what might be the most profound new thing in the Bible, a new covenant. So today, even though we are no longer in January, I thought I'd explore this new idea, this idea that grew from a very old idea. For the concept of covenant is very old, as Heather shared with us this morning, going back to Noah and Abraham, and in particular to the Old Testament book of Exodus, where God made a covenant with Moses. We know that covenant as the Ten Commandments. And here God established his relationship with his people of Israel and gave them the structure of how they were to live with God and with each other. And yet, can't help asking, just what is a covenant? In our culture, we talk about contracts, not covenants. We make contracts to buy and sell. We make contracts to get works done. We have social contracts that obligate us to be good citizens, but we seldom have covenants. And yet there is a difference between covenants and contracts. One author described the difference this way. If you make an appointment to get your hair cut, and you are entering into a contract. You agree to be there at a certain time, and the stylist agrees to cut your hair. Those promises that Heather talked about. Now, if you don't show up, the hairstylist does not come looking for you. At least mine doesn't. The contract is broken, and that's the end of it. However, if you make an appointment to pick up your child after school and your child doesn't show up, you don't go home and say, maybe tomorrow. You get out of your car and you go into the school and you do everything you can to find your child. This is a covenant. A covenant is a commitment beyond the level of a contract. In the Old Testament, there's a story of God making a covenant with Abraham. And to seal his covenant, he has Abraham cut a goat into two halves and lay it on the ground. And then while Abraham is watching, a flaming torch passes between the two halves. And I will admit that story is a little bit gory for our modern ears, but it does drive home the reality. Covenants are sacred trusts. And when they are broken, there is great pain involved. And so it was that God and Israel had a covenant relationship, a mutual promise to each other. God led the people out of Egypt. He sent them into the land of milk and honey. He set up kings to rule over them. He provided for their well-being. However, the people of Israel did not do so well on their side of the covenant. They broke the commandments that God had given them. They lied, they stole, they murdered, they dishonored their fathers and mothers, and they went after other gods. They seemed incapable of living up to the promises and the standards of the covenant. No, maybe they were incapable of living up to the promises and standards of the covenant. By the time of Jeremiah, which was centuries after Moses, the old covenant was broken, cracked, if you will, and needed to be recast. Our passage from Jeremiah that Kim read this morning tells about this recasting. For Jeremiah says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, the covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord." So here we see the history of this old covenant laid out in one sentence. I made a covenant with you and you broke it. As simple as that. And now comes the new covenant, as Jeremiah describes. But this is the covenant that I will make with them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This new covenant will be significantly different in one particular way. No longer will the words be written on a tablet. The covenant, this new covenant, will be written on their hearts. Something different is certainly happening here. For all their good intents, the people were breaking their covenant with God. You hear God's disappointment in his people and Jeremiah's plaintive cry, though I was their husband. God had a close personal relationship with his people, one as close as a husband and wife, and yet the people could not reciprocate. They turned their backs on the one who pledged to care them. This corruption of the covenant caused Jeremiah to realize that humanity simply does not have the capacity to heal itself. All of our human tools, among them understanding and will, are not enough. And there is always a need for help from outside ourselves. As good as we think we are, we cannot make ourselves perfect in the sight of God. Only God can do that. Our human limits become God's divine provision. By promising to write this covenant on their hearts, God is offering a transformation to the people, a transformation brought about by grace, not by human effort. What we have, in essence, is God taking an old bell that was broken and recasting it and making something new. The pieces of the old covenant are still in place, but God will rewrite them so that we have a new experience of our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. And perhaps that is the point of Jeremiah's message, that what is old within us can be made new. They say you can't teach a dog old tricks, but what God is saying, I can give that dog a new heart. A new heart that looks at our relationship with God and our relationships with each other in a new light, a grace-filled light, out of which we have the promise of what can be. Jesus took up this new covenant at the Last Supper when he told his disciples, this is the cup of the new covenant. In Jesus, we have the embodiment of the new covenant, the living promise of God's grace. Here, the new covenant is recast again and is made new and presented to us every time we join Jesus at this communion table. By the way, I also learned that the Liberty Bell, the one that was rung when the Declaration of Independence was signed, was not known as the Liberty Bell at that time, or even right afterwards. It was just the State House Bell. The bell did not get to be called the Liberty Bell until 1837, more than 60 years after the Declaration of Independence. It was in 1837 that William Lloyd Garrison published a poem about the bell entitled The Liberty Bell, which represented the first documented use of the name Liberty Bell. Garrison's magazine was called The Liberator, and it was an anti-slave publication. And from that moment on, the bell was adopted by the anti-slave movement in this country as a sign of liberation for the slaves of this country. So even our Liberty Bell, the sign of freedom for our country, is also a sign of something new, something for all of us to ponder about. That bell now has signified and continues to signify for those in our country who have not enjoyed the full freedoms of this country, the possibility that they might. Which is to say that we are constantly being recast. And the invitation from God is to live into this newness, these new possibilities that come before us, taking the old and reworking it into our own lives. And all this is a reminder that God takes what is old and makes it new again and again. Amen.